Welcome to the Former Review. Today we'll be analyzing John Wick Chapter 4. Now sit back, relax, grab your drinks, and let's talk about this film.
What's up everyone and welcome back to the Former Review. Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's been a while. I haven't recorded anything since the release of the first Avatar film in 2022. And this is just simply because a lot of personal stuff going on that made me take a step back and prioritize a few other things. But hey, here I am trying this again.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back!
So the newest episode will be analysis on the newest and apparently final John Wick film, and then the ranking of where it stands in the overall franchise. So stay tuned.
We call him Baba Yaga. Man of focus, commitment, sheer will.
So we're giving everything up for a car?
It's not just a car. It is John Wick's car.
So you can either hand over your son, or you can die screaming alongside it!
John Wick Chapter 4 is a 2023 neo-noir action thriller film directed by Chad Stahelski and written by Shay Hatton and Michael Finch. It's the direct sequel to John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, released in 2019, and it's the overall fourth installment in the John Wick franchise. It stars Keanu Reeves as the title character, alongside Donnie Yen, Bill Skarsgård, Lawrence Fishburne, Hiroki Sanada, Shamir Anderson, Lance Reddick in one of his final roles, rest in peace, Rina Sawayama, Scott Adkins, and Ian McShane. Now, in this film, John Wick sets out to get revenge on the High Table and those who left him for dead in the prior film. Now, before I get started on anything, I do want to say that there will be some spoilers here. Not like anything really big significance here, but if you really care about that, I'd suggest go watching the film and then come back and hear what I have to say about it afterwards. Especially with the first three films, I will be spoiling those films a little bit more, but you've had time to see those. Otherwise, you can just keep listening. Now let's go back in time a little bit, 2014, when John Wick was first released. This film was only a modest success and grossed under $90 million at the box office. It was led by director Chad Stahelski and star Keanu Reeves. It really delivered on every single thing that an action junkie and a gun-fu fan would want, and it started off what some would deem as the best action franchise of all time. Now, I wouldn't personally say that, but I can't say anything but they are damn enjoyable. The first film still has, honestly, the most impactful story, where the Russian gang members kill John's dog and then he seeks revenge on them. This film stepped past a lot of action films because the dog was not just any dog. It was the last gift from his late wife, and he had an emotional attachment to the reason for, quote,
"I'm thinking I'm back."
But the thing is, John Wick, as we learn, is not just any other man.
Baba Yaga.
The boogeyman?
Well, John wasn't exactly the boogeyman. He was the one you sent to kill the f***ing boogeyman.
So when John racks up more than 70 kills within a single film, he does so with heart and emotion. This allows the audience to empathize with him and appreciate the journey he goes on. Now, this film is one of the best revenge films ever made, as well as one of the best action. And the cast was also fantastic, with Reeve perfectly cast as John Wick, and so was Lance Reddick as Sharon and Ian McShane as Winston. Then you add these other minor characters of Aurelio and Marcus, played by John Leguizamo and William Dafoe respectively, and then Alfie Allen was riding on his Game of Thrones fame, and you have a pretty perfect cast. This film also had a lot of amazing fight choreography, and one of the standouts being the film's iconic nightclub scene. Now, this film started off the franchise and has been followed by three sequels, Chapter 2 in 2017, and then, like I said earlier, Chapter 3 Parabellum in 2019, and then this year with Chapter 4. Now, this franchise has been critically acclaimed and is often cited as one of the most influential action films of the 21st century and one of the best action franchises to date. Now, the first three films all have earned a collective gross of more than $588 million worldwide, and there are arguably two spin-offs that are in development. One is the limit series called The Continental, which should come out later this year, and the film Ballerina, which is going to star Anna de Armas coming out next year in 2024. Now, additionally, 2017's Atomic Blonde, starring Charlize Theron, has also been said by David Legg, one of the directors of both John Wick and that film, to take place in the same universe. There's also this idea of a crossover, which Reeves, Theron, and Legg are all down for if the story is good enough. Now, through this franchise, we get that John was born Giordani Jovanovic in Belarus, and then he was an orphan who was taken in by the Russo-Roman crime syndicate, which he was raised to be an assassin, eventually rising to become the top enforcer of the Russian mafia, and eventually took his name Baba Yaga under the crime boss Vigo Tarasov in the first film. He then retired for 5 years after undertaking a quote impossible task for Tarasov, wiping out all other organized crime syndicates in New York City in order to be allowed to leave to marry Helen before her eventual death from cancer, thus giving him a legendary status in the assassin underworld worldwide, as he's one of the few people who was able to walk away alive. Now, what is and has always been cool about this franchise is the code that all these people have, quote, working under the table. It revolves around the Continental Hotel chain, which serves as this neutral ground that is managed by, either in New York City, by McShane, Sophia Alazar, who was played by Halle Berry in the third film, or Shimazu Koji, played by Sonata in this film. And everyone has to swear their fealty to the High Table, which is this council of 12 high-level leaders of world society. And they're bound by these two rules, or made
excommunicado.
Now, the first rule is that no business is to be conducted on the continental grounds, and the second rule is every marker must be honored. Now, this world is pretty amazing to experience because it's frankly wild to see how far it spreads. Having said that, as the films progress into the second and third film, your enjoyment of them really comes of how much that factor, plus the decent action sequences, affect your enjoyment. If that's all you have for these films, then there's really nothing better. After the events of the first film, John seemingly has to leave his days of being a hitman behind him, but then crime lord Santino D'Antonio had a marker on him, having helped John complete the task that freed him from Vigo in the first film. This obviously made John required to, by oath, to return a favor to Santino, who wanted to kill his sister Gianna in order to claim her seat on the High Table. Now, essentially, this film swapped out the revenge story of the original film for a story that had John being forced into doing things he didn't want to do. Now, expectedly, the action definitely didn't disappoint, but Chapter 2 started down this rabbit hole of the script of those films not packing as strong as a punch as the first film. While the first film was able to focus more on John's own motivations because it was the first film, the following films have to basically draw from that without really doing much more. Having said that, as far as sequels goes, Chapter 2 did one of the sequel requirements with flying colors. It expanded on the world while working off of the first film. The issue is that John's character doesn't really change that much or go through any new arc in that one or really any of the following films. After being declared
excommunicado,
after gunning down a member of the High Table in the second film, Pre-Parabellum had John on the run from everyone. This film expanded even more and dramatically increased the scale of its action set pieces. While going bigger hasn't always meant better, such as the Fast and the Furious franchise or even the Transformers series, John Wick has always been an action franchise, and they did very well in that department. The film also had some amazing visuals that frankly have this film slightly better than the second film. Now, Halle Berry as Sophia was also fantastic as an action star, but also setting up some motive for the fourth film's characters in being disconnected from their family. Now, fast forward to John Wick Chapter 4, and I'm gonna be frank about this. This is not the greatest action movie ever made, and frankly, it's not even better than the first one. Having said that, John Wick 4 is still immensely enjoyable at times. As the prior films have done, it's hard to not think of this as anything but incredible from an action film point of view. But remember what I said earlier about your enjoyment depends on how much the action sequences matter to you? That again is exactly the case. The film starts off a little bit after the prior film. John is healed from his fall off of a top building, now more on that later, and is back in fine shape. The Bowery King, who's played by Fishburne, has taken in the rebellious hitman to nurse him back to health, and they both have obviously this bitter grudge against the High Table, so that they work together to essentially try to take down the High Table. John then travels to Osaka to see one of his few remaining friends, Koji, played fantastically by Sonata, who runs the Continental Hotel in Osaka with his daughter, who is also played fantastically by by Sawayama. But by this point in the story, everyone knows that if they harbor or help Wick, they're essentially admitting their allegiance to him and not the High Table, aka they are able to be killed. So Koji decides to stand with John Wick, and his men stand with him as well. Now, Koji is a great character simply because of Sonata's performance. Well, not in the film that much. His portrayal shows this deep friendship that he and John have, even though the film does not show it. His performance makes Koji's sacrifice even more heartbreaking. And this is similarly done to a slightly lesser extent with Donnie Yen's character, Kane, who is also this close friend of John's who is forced into hunting him down, otherwise his daughter would be killed. And this is what the prior film had set up with Halle Berry's character, that basically you have to be completely disconnected from your entire family, but you don't want to know where they are because you would go see them. And this idea, it was developed more into a character that was touched on. And again, that is something that this film does well, is tying little details here and there about this world. And not surprisingly, Donnie Yen's action sequences are top-notch, and even though he's hunting down John, his story is still relatable enough that one can root for him. Yen somehow does very well when playing blind characters.
One with the Force is with me.
In Rogue One, and then also again in this film, he has done so well. And he gives this lot of guilt and grief to this performance, even though he's playing this blind man. But also, he has this other side to him. He's suave and charismatic. Watching him slurp down noodles while watching other people kill each other around him, or listening to the sounds of bullets so that he knows where to duck. It's really just a fantastic character that, frankly, if how this film plays out, I could see him going and having his own story, because it's just such a cool character. Now, there's another new character called Mr. Nobody, played by Shamir Anderson, and it's a definite welcome addition, and he has a significance to the story, but his arc honestly fades away, and we're not really given much about him. It's odd, because you would think that his character would have more of a backstory with how much time he spends on screen. He seems like a character that should have mattered more, but we were given really nothing about him or where he's come from, and you can't fully appreciate his badass nature because of that. Overall, the story of this film feels slightly different from the past films, but also feels the same. The film is very big in scale, and it's also filmed in a way that is very close-knit to the characters and thus tries to promote a connection to them. Now, while it may not be the best action film ever made, it's almost like this mixtape of greatest action sequences of all time. Because you obviously have the blind martial arts character, you have the final sunrise duel, and also a tense James Bond-like card game. Now, it's not a bad thing to do this at this stage in the franchise, as the character has been fairly established in other films. Again, though, it comes down to one's enjoyment of those action sequences. When you look past that, the film is long, excessive, and frankly, a bit tedious. It's almost like they didn't have enough for two films, but they had too much for one. Now, the film does, again, progress well into incorporating more and more characters, but it makes the act sequences last a very long time, such as the hotel siege literally taking half an hour to go through. And they are fantastically shot by Dan Lawson, and working with the stuntman turned director Dahalensky, they're able to come up with some truly ingenious fight scenes that involve some camera work, such as the dope one-shot overhead sequence during the second-to-last action scene. Now, this film occasionally abandons this realistic, grounded perspective that will somewhat drag this into a stylistically pure action melodrama, or really defy physics, such as when John jumps from a window and breaks his fall with the car. Now, this is one of the stupidest moments in the film. Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, he survived one in the last film when he was shot and fell, and then fast forward to this film, there's time and he's able to recover. The thing is, this film takes him from doing that, getting up, and then continuing on to fight until the end of the movie. I was so annoyed with this moment, and yeah, you have to suspend your disbelief with this, but frankly, this was the dumbest thing. And yeah, this comes also again from 4 movies of somewhat dumb moments. This was beyond stupid. Now, at the end of the day, this is honestly a film that, frankly, you get exactly what you came for. At this point, it really has become almost a joke. But I can see why the franchise keeps on making money, because it's really mindless entertainment. But really, at the end of the day, this film does feel that it is at the end of its road. And frankly, given how this film ends, I'm not really against that at all. The end of it is a bit mysterious and doesn't necessarily set up a John Wick 5, but it does allow it to happen. And I think that's one thing that obviously is going to be a topic of discussion. Frankly, I really hope that they can end it here, maybe bringing it in as a cameo similar to Collateral, bringing in Statham's Frank from the Transporter films. I think that thing would work. I just don't think a full-on new John Wick, unless they're able to really diversify the story at this point. But then again, they haven't been doing that really at all with the entire franchise outside of the first film. The films have really honestly been able to wash over any of the problems with this film, because they're able to basically take all of the incredible stunts and fight sequences that make any viewer forget about any of the abundance of negatives done with these films. And I can see why the franchise has made money, as it is fairly mindless entertainment. But frankly, I'm glad this franchise is potentially at its end, because the nearly 3-hour film was very hard to get through. There were so many times that I can see the same flip, the same fight moves, the same gunfights, but the only way they change things is to mix up how they're shot. It just gets really old really fast, and there's absolutely nothing gripping to me to my seat when watching really these copy and paste scenes. Now, even the 4DX in this film was not great, outside of the blood spatters you get to experience. Now, once you forget that it happened once, they're able to remind you that they can do this. And this, frankly, does add to the action sequences, and the car chase scenes are great, but they're not really enough to save this experience. Now, this film almost sets itself apart from the story of the first three films, but it feels also different from the prior two sequels as well. Again, the biggest thing about these films is how much does the action make that time worth it. I felt that each moment made it harder to determine that if it was. Film started off strong and the ending was simplistic yet epic at the same time, which I personally enjoyed. Having said that, it's not one that I would journey on again, at least for a while. The film succeeds with its character, its direction, and its ending, and the story somewhat, but the story overall and some of its details aren't great. So I would say a 3.5 out of 5. Now, my final ranking of this franchise would be quote unquote worst being the second film, with the third one and the fourth one following after that. I enjoyed this one more than the third one, but there's not really that much difference between them. I just really enjoyed the first third of this film more so than I enjoyed the entirety of the last film. So that brings it up a little bit more, but not significantly. And I actually really think that all the sequels have been kind of the same at a 3.5 out of 5, but the first one is a 4.5 out of 5. The first one is still at the top of this list because of its story, its character, its direction, its ending, and then some of its details. Now, what do you think of this new film, and where do you rank in your John Wick, and are you excited for the spinoffs that are coming? Let me know. Hit me up on social media. Now, the formal review is once again on all podcast service, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all of the above. And I always love to talk about movies and everything, so you can feel free to reach out on Twitter or IG, or because I'm willing to talk about anything about movies. Reach out, we can talk and dissect the movie a little bit more in detail. But as always, feel free to leave a review. I want to know what everyone's thinking, because I do the show for you, and frankly, if you didn't listen, I wouldn't be putting this out. Again, I apologize for the really long delay in these episodes, and hope to keep content coming for you. So let me know if there's anything you want me to change going forward. I'm just gonna keep on putting things out as much as I can. But again, thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.
And until next time,
be happy, enjoy life, and be positive.
And see you at the movies.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Formal Review. Cheers, and we'll see you next time.